Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Simcha, Helen Friedman, Dorit Bat Sara, Shifra Bat Sara, and Dennis Shore, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harav Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on the program this week. The first is big news from Israel. Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party have pulled out of the Knesset elections that are going to be held shortly. They're going to be held on September 17th. They pulled out of the elections, and Feiglin is now urging people to vote for the Likud. We do not agree with what Feiglin is doing. We don't like what he's doing. But we'll explain to you why we do feel that we accomplished quite a bit in terms of our relationship with Feiglin over the past few years and what we think we accomplished and where we go from here. The second subject we want to speak about is Donald Trump, who, while being a lesser of the evils, the Democrats are certainly worse than him, and we're supporting Trump for re-election. We are supporting Trump for re-election because the Democrats are worse than him. But he is still a bad president, and his insane decision to want to speak now to the Nazi terrorist dictators of Iran is just complete madness. And it's pretty much goes along with his insane policies toward North Korea, toward Russia, toward other nations that threaten the United States. We're going to discuss what we think of what he's doing with Iran and how we think this affects things. It could be disastrous if he starts pursuing a policy of appeasing Iran now, that could be catastrophic. But let's start off with Moshe Feiglin. As you know, for the past several years, JTF supported Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party in the elections for the Knesset, for the Israeli parliament. And this was despite the fact that we had major differences of opinion with him on certain issues. For instance, he was in favor of legalizing marijuana, which we are completely opposed to. We're opposed to legalizing any narcotics, any drugs. So we had differences of opinion with him. He's not a Kahanist. But still, we felt that he was saying a lot of things on many issues that were true and that other people weren't willing to say. For instance, he was supporting a free market and opening up the economy, and his positions on economic issues were actually quite good. He also favored an end to so-called U.S. foreign aid to Israel, which just hurts Israel. He favored liberating Judea, Samaria, and Gaza with the Israeli army and beginning a program to encourage the Arabs to leave. So a lot of things he said were very, very good. But there were other issues in which his positions were very troublesome to us. So we had to make a decision, and we decided that we thought that based upon the totality of what he was proposing, that he was the best choice, that he was the only choice, and that his presence in the Knesset would be a positive thing for the Jewish people and for Israel. So we supported him. His decision now to support the Likud, to pull out of the race and support the Likud, is a big disappointment. If he had just pulled out of the race, I would understand that, because it didn't look like he was going to be able to pass the threshold on September 17th, and he didn't pass the threshold in April. And now they have new elections again several months later, and if he lost twice in a row, it would be a big blow. So we wouldn't have had any problem with it if he had just decided to withdraw from the race. But because he made a deal with Bibi Netanyahu and is urging people to vote for the Likud, that's a big problem. Netanyahu promised to make him a minister. We'll see if Netanyahu keeps his promises. Netanyahu is as reliable when it comes to keeping promises as Yasser Arafat. So we'll see if Netanyahu keeps his promises. Netanyahu is a pathological liar who breaks promises every 5 minutes. But we'll see if he keeps his promise to make Feiglin a senior minister involving economic policy. We'll see if that really comes true. I have my doubts. And then promised him various other little things here and there, but the main thing was he promised to make Feiglin a minister in the government, and he promised also to help get rid of Feiglin's debts, the debts that the Zehut Party had, because the Zehut Party was in debt because of its defeat. It was about $1 million in debt, something like maybe less, maybe $700,000 or $800,000. I'm not sure. Don't quote me. I'm not 100% sure, but they were in debt, and so he wanted to get out of the debt. Now, in order to get money and in order to get a position as minister, is it worth selling out your positions? Of course not. Feiglin always said that Netanyahu was a strategic disaster for Israel. He exposed the fact that Netanyahu, because of Netanyahu's cowardly policies and inaction toward Iran, that Iran is on the verge of building nuclear bombs and that that could lead to nuclear holocaust, God forbid. He also spoke about the tremendous threat to Israel from Hezbollah, the Hezbollah terrorists who have up to 200,000 missiles now on Israel's northern border aimed at Israeli cities and aimed at all of Israel. Very serious strategic threat to Israel, and Netanyahu did nothing and allowed this terrible cancer to continue to grow and grow and metastasize. So Feiglin has been correctly criticizing Netanyahu about all this, and now all that's forgotten and he's joining and urging people to vote for Likud. He's not joining the Likud. He says he's still going to have the Zehut party, but he's going to serve in a Likud government. He's urging people to vote Likud. And I think that's very bad, to urge people to vote Likud. Because as Feiglin himself said, the Likud, under Likud governments, we have seen Israel give up most of the land that they liberated in the 1967 Six-Day War. Over 90% of the land that Israel has surrendered since the 1967 Six-Day War was surrendered when you had Likud governments in power. Not the open left, but the phony right. The phony right gave up over 90% of the land that Israel surrendered since the 1967 Six-Day War. The phony right is the one that has released many, many thousands of Arab terrorist mass murderers from prisons as gestures and all types of insane exchanges and insanity exchanges for dead Israeli bodies, for the bodies of dead Israeli soldiers. Just insane. And that, of course, has led to more murder and more terror and more bloodshed and just disastrous results. And Netanyahu and the Likud are the ones who have done this. Over 90% of the expulsion of Jews from their land has taken place under Likud governments. Netanyahu himself, in the past 8 years, he's been actually prime minister most of the time since 1996, going back to 1996. But he's been prime minister now for about 8 years, straight 8 years, actually going on 9 years. And Netanyahu himself has frozen building in Jewish settlements, has refused to deal with the terrible crisis of tens of thousands of Arab illegal buildings being built all over Israel, and has expelled hundreds of Jewish families from their homes. Hundreds of Jews were thrown out of their homes by Bibi Netanyahu, who destroyed Amonah, who destroyed the Ulpana district in Beit El, and many, many other cases. Feiglin himself said that he would never join a government, would never be willing to stay in a government that expels Jews. Well, he's joining a government now that has expelled hundreds of Jews. He said that he would immediately resign if the government expelled even one Jew from his home. He would immediately resign. He would not accept that. We're going to see. We're going to hold Feiglin to that, and I hope that he'll resign if Netanyahu tries to expel, God forbid, I think he will continue in his expulsions. If he expels more Jews from Judea and Samaria, let's see if Feiglin really pulls out right away and withdraws and resigns from the government. If he even gets this position in the government, if Netanyahu keeps his word and gives him a position in the government, because, again, Netanyahu has promised him this after the election, we'll see, because Netanyahu is a pathological, categorical, serial liar. So this is really a disappointment that Feiglin has done this. I'm not surprised, but I'm disappointed. Look, we never felt that the future of Israel was dependent on Feiglin and on the Zehut party. We always told you we had major differences with him. We were using his party to help the Jewish people, to bring truth to the Jewish people, so that we could do advertising, and that we could, and our advertising campaign got over 1 million views. Over 1 million Israeli Jews saw our videos talking about the need to begin a program to encourage the Arabs to leave Israel, talking about the need to expel all illegal aliens from Israel, talking about the need to have a Jewish state with truly Jewish principles. So We brought a lot of things to the attention of Israeli Jews that they never see anywhere else, and we used the Feiglin and the Zehut Party as our way of doing this, as our way to get attention to our videos and make this a concerted campaign. So I think we accomplished something in that respect, that at least we introduced Israeli Jews to issues that no one else has ever introduced them to. What will be our future relationship with Feiglin? We're not supporting him now. Now we're not supporting him. And it's hard for me to see how we could support him in the future. I'm not going to say never, because you never know what Feiglin may wind up doing. Maybe he'll surprise us and do something wonderful. But right now, it's very hard for me to see us continuing to support Feiglin. So we still are focused on what we were always focused on, which is our campaign to bring truth to the people of Israel, to the Jews of Israel, and to bring as many Israeli Jews, or make as many Israeli Jews aware as possible of the fact that there are solutions. There's no question there are solutions. God has given the Jewish people in the land of Israel all of the tools necessary to bring final redemption. And it's because of lack of will and lack of leadership and because of treasonous leadership that these things are not coming to fruition. Only because of that. And that is the message we want to bring to the people of Israel. And we did succeed in the past 6 months. Over 1 million Israeli Jews saw us bring that message. We spoke about the need to end U.S. foreign aid. We spoke about the need to get the illegal aliens out of Israel. We spoke about the need to have a free and open economy in Israel, end socialism and bring down taxes and bureaucracy. We introduced Israeli Jews to a lot of important issues. These were issues that, in many cases, Feiglin was also speaking about. So we were able to use his notoriety in order to introduce these issues to the Jews of Israel. We're going to continue to work to bring the truth to the Jews of Israel. That will go on. And let's hope that we wake up enough Jews and create enough awareness of what the issues are and of what the solutions are in order to make change. I think that it has an effect. When over 1 million Israeli Jews see these solutions, and they're the only logical solutions, I think that it begins to have an effect. Now, of course, we have a lot more to do. We have a lot more work to do. These Israeli Jews who saw our videos, they just saw one video. They just saw one short video, basically seeing a commercial. And even though our commercials are persuasive and powerful, just seeing one video and then returning to be brainwashed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that's very hard to fight all of that brainwashing with our limited campaign. But we have to do it. We are obligated to bring the truth to the people of Israel, even if we have our battle is always an uphill battle, but we have to fight that battle. That's our job in this generation. That's what we are required to do. And so we'll go on with our fight to bring the truth to the people of Israel. And with Moshe Feiglin, I don't know what's going to happen with him. I think he made a big mistake, not only in terms of what's good for the Jewish people, I think he's made a big mistake in terms of his own personal career by trusting Netanyahu, because people who trust Netanyahu always get burned in the end. Here in the United States, as you know, we make our determination on who to support for president based on their positions involving Israel and the Jewish people. That's our main concern. And what's good for Israel, what's good for the Jewish people, that's what decides how we vote or how we try to influence the vote here in America. And now we see Donald Trump saying that he wants to start negotiations with the Nazi Muslim terrorist rulers of Iran, which is, of course, complete insanity. Ted Cruz promised to end Iranian nuclear development immediately when he gets into office. He said he was going to give them an ultimatum, and if they didn't accept the ultimatum, he said the United States was going to go in and do it militarily. That would have been the perfect solution. That's what Ted Cruz was proposing to do, and it could have saved us from the threat of a nuclear holocaust. And that's one of many, many reasons why we supported Ted Cruz and urged you to support Ted Cruz. We knew that Donald Trump was not going to be the answer on Iran. Is he better than Obama and the Democrats on Iran? He is better than Obama and the Democrats on Iran, but he's still not solving the basic underlying problem here. And now he wants to negotiate with them. What does that mean? Does that mean they're going to compliment him and say nice things about his orange hair, and that's going to get him to lift the sanctions now? The way the North Korean Nazi dictator, the North Korean Hitler Kim, says a couple of things and smiles at him, and then he says that he likes Kim and that he has a lot in common with Kim. Kim murdered 2 million of his own people, starved them to death. He's a monstrous Nazi dictator, a madman. And he's also spreading his nuclear cancer all over the world, Kim, the North Korean dictator. And Trump likes him and says we have a lot in common and meets with him. And when North Korea fires missiles, breaking all of their agreements and breaking all their commitments, starts firing missiles, Trump says, oh, people get disturbed over this. A lot of people fire missiles. He makes excuses for the North Korean regime. Just the worst type of appeasement in North Korea. I hope we don't see that now replicated in Iran. I hope not, because that will really be a grave danger to Israel and the Jewish people. And it'll be a grave danger to the United States, because remember, Iran chants death to America even before they chant death to Israel. They're not joking. They intend to use nuclear jihad. And we had better understand what a tremendous threat this will be to the world if these lunatics who believe that Allah is commanding them to massacre as many infidels as possible, and that it doesn't matter if there's retaliation, it doesn't matter if their own people get killed in the process because they worship death, they worship martyrdom. If we allow these lunatics to acquire nuclear weapons, which is what we're doing right now, and when I say we, I'm referring to Israel and the United States, that is complete insanity. And so this was a real example of why we were against Trump. When you see all of a sudden that the president of France, Macron, invites the Iranian terrorist foreign minister to Paris, and that impresses Trump, and Trump, when Trump goes to the G7 meeting, it wasn't in Paris, it was another city in France, I don't even know the name. But Trump was at the meeting with the G7 members, and he was very impressed by this, and he said he wants to speak to Iran. Very, very disturbing. Very, very disturbing. And Iran is bombing ships going through the Persian Gulf. And Iran is continuing to smuggle, despite the fact there's supposed to be sanctions that prevent Iranian oil from being sold. Iranian oil is still being sold. And they're going right through the Straits of Gibraltar, and the Europeans are continuing to trade with them. And Trump is not cracking down. He's not doing what he has to do. And again, we see Trump with Russia, this love affair with Putin, who obviously has something over him. There's no question that Putin and Russia are blackmailing him. The Russia scandal is not a hoax. Trump is in bed with Putin and is being blackmailed. There's no question Putin has something over him, because at every opportunity he tries to advance Putin's interests. All of a sudden he announces that he wants to invite Russia to be a member of the G7, which the European members are all against. They don't want this. They see what Russia's doing, and even though they're appeasers also, they don't want. But when it comes to Russia, Trump is the most pro-Russia president we've ever had. All of a sudden he's so pro-Russia, he's so anti-China, but he's so pro-Russia. They've got something over him. Remember, his son, Trump's son, said that a lot of the money and a lot of the investments they got were from Russia in their businesses, in the Trump businesses. So who knows, when he was deep in debt and sinking, who knows what Russia did to help bail him out? And who knows what he's hiding? Now, having said that, on China, I think Trump's policies are good. I think that Trump is actually courageously confronting China. And this is something that JTF always thought American president should do, and everybody thought we were crazy. You don't start trade wars. You don't do it. There was always a trade war going on, but it was a one-sided trade war. China was waging trade war against the United States. The United States was allowing them to walk all over American consumers and American businesses and get away with this. Trump is responding. And that is good. That's actually pretty courageous, pretty gutsy on his part. So on China, we have to applaud him. His China policy is actually a good policy. And there are other areas here and there where his policies sometimes are an improvement over past policies. But it would have been so much better if Ted Cruz had been president. Despite that, we're going to have to do everything we can, unfortunately, to get him reelected, unless after the Israeli election on September 17th, he comes out with a Mideast Israeli suicide plan and starts pressuring Israel to commit suicide. Then we have to reevaluate everything we just said now about Trump's reelection. Because if he becomes a threat in terms of pressuring Israel to commit suicide, then we're against Trump's reelection. Then we're against him. I don't care who runs or what. We won't support anyone who anyone who pushes for Israeli suicide will not get our support. We'll see what happens. We'll see what that plan entails and how hard Trump pushes for it after he has said now he's going to release after the September 17th Israeli elections. That's middle of next month, or the middle of this month, actually, where the show is on September 1st already. So we'll see what Trump releases. If his plan is not one that will go anywhere and he doesn't really push it very hard, then he will continue in our eyes to be a lesser of the evils against the Democrats, and we will push for his reelection, and we'll push aggressively to defeat the anti-Semitic Democrats, because the anti-Semitic Democrats certainly on every front want to destroy Israel and undermine Israel, and that's a situation we can't afford to have now. Even on Iran, you know, we're speaking about how Trump's insane talk about negotiations with Iran, and he's not really enforcing the sanctions on Iran the way he should be. But the Democrats, they don't even want sanctions on Iran. They want Iran to get hundreds of billions of dollars in reward for all their evil behavior. So the Democrats, again, even on that issue, are worse. JTF works to bring the truth to people in a generation where the truth is very scarce. We live in a generation which the prophet Isaiah predicted, Yeshayahu HaNavi, the prophet Isaiah predicted that this would happen in the end of days, where woe unto those that call good evil and evil good, light darkness and darkness light. All of this is what we have in this generation. This is the story of our times, and it's been the story of our times now for quite a while. People who speak the truth are banned and blocked and silenced and even put in prison. I'm not allowed to make Aliyah, I'm not allowed to go to Israel because of the truth that I'm telling you right now. This is a terrible time for righteous people, and it was predicted that it would be like this before eventually something would happen. Things would happen, events would happen, perhaps one big event or perhaps a series of events that the prophets promise us will occur, that will suddenly wake the Jews up, wake Israel up, and then Israel will become again a light unto the nations and a holy nation, a nation of priests, and will be led by the Messiah, by the Mashiach. And then spectacular things will happen, and the evil will be destroyed, and the righteous will triumph. Those things will happen in the end. But in the interim, while we go through this period where light is called darkness and darkness light, where truth is called lies and where truth is a lie and the lie is truth and everything's upside down and everything's the opposite of what it should be, in this generation where we have so much insanity, that's where we need people to be willing to be a voice in the wilderness. How many people are willing to do what JTF is doing, to stand up and say things that are unpopular, to say things that get you banned from going to Israel, that prevent you from doing the things that you dream of doing? How many people are willing to do that for the sake of the truth? Not many. That's why JTF's work is so important, and that's why we're going to continue to be a voice of truth. Someday you'll see that we were right from the start. Someday you'll see, and you'll know, because you remember what we always used to say, in your heart you know we're right, and in your guts you know they're nuts. And that is true. We're going to continue to say what has to be said and continue to do what has to be done. And the more people we reach and the more people we convince, when the time comes for a great awakening, that will make things easier and make the transition better, God willing. And hopefully, Hashem, God, in His great mercy, will have mercy on Israel and the Jewish people, because He sees that at least some people are willing to take the knocks, suffer persecution, and suffer blacklisting and persecution and bannings and everything else, but stand for the truth no matter what. If Hashem sees that, maybe because of the sake of the few that are willing to do that, Hashem will have mercy on the many. Let's hope so, and let's hope that only good things happen for the Jewish people and for Israel from here on in, and for the righteous Gentiles, of course. And with God's help, we're going to move forward. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.